Welcome to the Animal Voices radio show here on 102.7 FM Co-op Radio CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, January the 21st, 2011. I am your co-host, Allison Cole, and I am joined here today by my co-hosts, Carissa Thorpe and Alyssa Ray.
Hello.
On today's show, we have two interviews for you. First up, we'll have Bonnie Dawson on the show from the organization Action for the Protection of Northern Animals. Bonnie lives in the Northwest Territories of Canada and has been working fervently to enact an amended dog act in the Northwest Territories that will act to protect all domesticated dogs in the region. And since I recently learned of her in this issue, which has been making national news this month, I was shocked to hear and read about the horrible abuses that people's dogs in the North are suffering at the hands of their guardians. It's apparently commonplace in the North for dogs to be kept chained outside in a backyard in minus 40 degree temperatures with no shelter or warmth, and while this seems like an unfathomable thing to do to your own animal, it's not in the Northwest Territories, which has been given the dubious title as best place to be an animal abuser. We're going to be speaking to Bonnie about the situation and the changes she is fighting for to make to the new Dog Act. For our feature interview, we'll be speaking with Neil DeCruz, who is a wildlife biologist with a special interest in bears, working for the World Society for Protection of Animals. We'll be talking to him about another animal abuse issue that I also think is not that well known about either, and that is the issue of a group of people in India who illegally capture bears to force them to dance as entertainment to people and as a means of living. Another really interesting story with a backstory that goes into the culture of a people who grow up being used to keeping and abusing animals in this way so that it's just a normal way of life for them. We'll be learning all about this dancing bear trade and how WISPA has been involved in it. Carissa and Alyssa, you are both most fortunate to attend the anticipated preview film screening of the film Forks Over Knives last night here in Vancouver, which we discussed on the show last week. And
just
I want to know
barely,
all about it.
Just barely. I almost got locked out at the last minute.
Yeah, I heard that so many people came that they had to turn people away. Is that right?
They turned people away and they wouldn't let anyone stand in the back of the room. And like, I went to pay for my parking meter and came back and they weren't going to let me in. And I was like, my stuff is in there. Let me in.
And they did.
Yeah.
And what about you, Alyssa? Did you get in?
I did. Just okay. Barely. I was like 275 and there was like 300 tickets. So every seat was filled. It was so exciting. Like the energy. Where did those people come from? How did they find out? I don't know.
Well, it was publicized through the library's means this time. So just everyone from all over the region. We're all the Vancouver public.
It'd be really nice if they did another one for the people who couldn't go or the people who hear about it now.
I agree. Yeah.
I think that would be really great. But I don't know how likely that is. But it was really good.
Tell me about the film.
Well, it's a lot of solid science. It just makes for a really strong argument against any kind of animal products. Most people are kind of familiar with the detriments of meat products. I would say that most people kind of know, but I liked how it talked about dairy as well and casein, the protein in dairy. There was some correlations there with prostate cancer and even low-fat dairy products. Were mentioned. So
yeah, I found that was one of the interesting things is with low-fat dairy products, it makes the protein content higher, which is more damaging to your body because of where the type of protein that it is.
Wow, it sounds like they really went into things that you know you'd never really thought about before.
Definitely, yeah. Even for vegans, I'm sure there was probably a lot of vegans in the audience, and I think we all probably took away something we didn't know before. It's you know there's so much information out there, and it just really organized it in such a good way. And
I really liked the graphics as well. Like they had sort of like animated graphics to sort of illustrate things that made it sort of easier. Like if you're coming to this not knowing any of these things, it's a bit overwhelming the amount of info that is in the movie. Mm-hmm. So like the graphics sort of really helped it to make it visual so that people can sort of internalize it a bit better.
I understand Robert Cheek was there from the vegan bodybuilder and he gave a talk. Is that right? Because I know he was involved with the film.
I was locked out of the room at the time.
He introduced the film. He didn't really give a talk. He was going to do a Q&A after it ended up being only about 5 questions. The library was closing, but everyone like had lots of questions and wanted it to go on longer. And the crowd was buzzing. People were really excited.
Were there people Like, what kinds of questions were they asking? I'm curious.
There was a couple questions about dairy, particularly like that point I mentioned about that we mentioned about low fat dairy products, and there was a boy about, I don't know, 12 or something, sitting mm-hmm. in the front row, who asked, like, so are you saying that we shouldn't eat dairy products too? Like, just to get that straight, because I think a lot of people don't, they just think milk is so healthy, and it's just such a subversive, like, kind of taboo thing
something
to
that
say.
Certainly a 12-year-old hasn't thought about before, right?
Yeah, and it was really interesting how it was a message directed towards males. Like, I don't think there's much out there that specifically for the, like it was nice that he was there, the bodybuilder. They also had the Engine 2 diet featured, which is a bunch of beefy firefighters, the UFC fighter Mac Denzig.
Yes, yeah.
And a lot of other just males who had, you know, come from a traditional standard American diet and totally made the change. And
oh, actually, one thing that I found really interesting was they were talking about erectile dysfunction and how, like, Viagra tells you to just take a pill for it. And then there was one guy that said, you know, I'm in the medical profession, and erectile dysfunction is the very first sign that you are going to have a heart attack.
Now, that's interesting, because you're all plugged up, right?
Yeah.
Your
because it's
arteries,
like, it's all to do with the blood flow, right?
That's really interesting. Well, it definitely seems like it was a film worth seeing. And did they happen to mention
when it'll be out?
Well, it's going to be out in March, they said, but
it sounds like it is coming to Vancouver, because he did say that it would be released late March, early April. So it sounds like maybe we're going to have a slightly later release, but that it will be coming to Vancouver.
It's very interesting to know. Thank you for that. And Alyssa's got events for us.
I do. This Sunday, January 23rd, from 6 until 8 p.m. Note the date was changed. It was Saturday, but now it's Sunday. It's Sarah Kramer Fundraiser for the Animals. This is at Carnivore Vegan Shop at 610 Columbia Street in New Westminster, now conveniently located between Columbia and New West SkyTrain stations. Join international best-selling vegan cookbook superstar Sarah Kramer at Carnivore on January 23rd from 6 till 8 for an amazing fundraiser event for animals. Proceeds from the event will benefit two BC charities. One is Hearts on Noses Pig Sanctuary. It's a home for pigs who have been injured, abused, neglected, and abandoned, located in Mission, BC, who we featured on the show a few times before. And the other charity is BC Poodle and Small Dog Rescue, a rescue group based out of Victoria, BC, mainly focused on the rescue of poodles and poodle mixes, as well as other small breed dogs in need. Tickets to the event cost $25 and include the following: meet and greet Sarah Kramer in person with autograph signings, meet Janice from Hearts on Noses Pig Sanctuary, one copy of Sarah Kramer's 2011 Go Vegan calendar filled with awesome recipes, vegan hors d'oeuvres, a yummy vegan treat from Carnivore's new deli, a croissant or a cupcake, silent auction, exclusive sale event, 50-50 draw, one free ticket to Carnivore gift card raffle, one free Carnivore store coupon, plus a lifetime of good karma for helping the animals. To buy your tickets, go to carnivore.ca. That's Carnivore with a K. Also in events, we have Sunday, January 30th, from 12 until 3. There's a vegan cooking class with Narayani. It's near the Main Street SkyTrain in Vancouver. Narayani will teach the nutrition and ingredients information, as well as how to make a selection of yummy vegan dishes with an at-home and relaxed atmosphere. The menu sample, this is from last time, so this won't be what's made on Sunday. Mung dal soup, quinoa patties, roasted red pepper sauce, roasted vegetables, green salad with nutritional yeast dressing, and chai tea. Enjoy tasty vegan food and learn how your choice of foods determines your health, well-being, and quality of life. The price is $35 with a meal included. Pretty good deal. Info and registration, 604-646-0134, or contact@vanyoga.com.
We have time for one short one.
One short one. Well, I don't really have a short one. I have a really long one.
It's you can shorten it is what I was getting at.
Well, there's a cruise coming up. We'll talk about it more next week, February 27th to March 6th. It's a 7-day vegan taste of health cruise, the Holistic Holiday at Sea. Oh, sounds amazing. So basically it features lectures and amazing gourmet food, and it just sounds like an amazing vacation.
And Dr. T. Colin Campbell is going to be there, who we are speaking about, who is featured.
Study.
Yeah, author of The China Study, who is also featured in Forks Over Knives. So that'll be fun.
Lots to learn, and to find out more about that, go to www.atasteofhealth.org.
Thank you very much for that, Alyssa. For our first interview today, we have Bonnie Dawson on the show from Action for the Protection of Northern Animals, which is dedicated to the welfare of animals who continue to suffer horrifically in the Northwest Territories of Canada. Bonnie is here to speak with us today about the plight of the dogs in the North and a dangerous loophole that exists in the new Northwest Territories Dog Act, which is being reviewed this month. Hello, Bonnie, and welcome to the Animal Voices Show.
Hello, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. Not too many people across Canada know exactly what's going on in the North.
And, you know, that's exactly why we have you on the show today. So we are going to be speaking with you today on a subject that, as you just said, it's very little known to us Canadians situated in the provinces below you, because I just think we generally don't have a lot of awareness of what's happening up in the North where you are. The Northwest Territories and Nunavut have been given the egregious title of best place to be an animal abuser. Can you explain why that is and what makes Northern Canada different than the rest of the country in this regard?
Well, first of all, the Northwest Territories and Nunavut were privileged to get that description 2 years running, both in 2009 and 2010. This report was put out by the Animal Legal Defense Fund. What they did was they compared, took all the provincial animal protection acts across the country, did a comparison, and of course the one for the NWT was written over 80 years ago and basically was written to protect humans from dogs. Back then, a lot of places, communities used sled teams for, you know, hunting and trapping and fishing. That was the traditional mode of transportation. So these animals are not considered to be the companion animal. They're a working animal. And socialization of these animals was pretty limited. So the act created back way back when was to protect people from these, you know, from the animals themselves. I began my campaign to get a comprehensive Animal Protection Act back in 2008 because the decades of unabated animal cruelty is horrific here. And there was nothing in place to protect the animals from the humans that would otherwise neglect, starve, shoot, just terrible acts of cruelty. So I began this campaign back in 2008. Part of the problem is that the NWT is a vast, vast area, a lot of it wilderness, with so many communities that are in remote regions. And it's very difficult to monitor and to take count, really, of the number of cruelty cases that are going on. So many of them are just overlooked and, you know, considered, well, they're just a dog, it's a dog, and, you know, there's too many dogs running loose, or we don't want this one anymore. So that's what brought me into it.
I'm wondering if you can perhaps give us a few examples of some recent situations that depict the kind of neglect and abusive treatment of domesticated dogs in the North. I know there have been quite a few notable examples just in this past year.
Mm-hmm. In 2008, Hope was, like I said, the one dog that launched me on this campaign. She was basically found, I believe it was either February or January of 2008, in a deplorable state. She was infested with sarcoptic mange. The flesh so bad it was rotting and falling off of her. She had an embedded collar, And she was in terrible state. She was rescued and transported to the Great Slave Animal Hospital in Yellowknife, which, by the way, is the only vet hospital to service all of the NWT. She underwent many toxic baths to rid her of her mites, returned back to Hay River to her adoptive new family, and had to go back within a few days suffering from parvo. So this dog had it really rough, but she survived, and she's happy and healthy now. In May of 2010, here in Hay River, there's a severe hoarding case whereby 109 animals, dogs, and puppies have been hoarded on a property that the town officials, the situation knew had been going on for a very, very long time, and actually did nothing to put an end to it. 23 puppies were removed from that property. 83 dogs remained on the property as wards of the town under the that individual's care. Those animals still remain on that property. It's unknown whether there's been any new births since May of 2010, so the head count is unknown as to the number of dogs on the property. And despite an offer to assist in relocation of these 23 puppies, which were held at the shelter for 2.5 months, these pups were not relocated to southern shelters where they could have been properly rehabbed and gotten ready for adoptive homes. The woman in this case actually pleaded not guilty to 5 charges of animal abuse just this week. She was charged with 2 counts of willful causing pain or suffering to an animal, as well as 2 counts of willfully neglecting or failing to provide suitable food, water, or shelter under the criminal code, and 1 count under the current NWT Dog Act, which currently is a $25 fine, which is totally ridiculous.
Can you briefly tell us about the report published in October 2010, which was called Evaluation and Delivery of Domestic Animal Health Services in Remote Communities in the Northwest Territories? What were the findings of this report?
Well, the report was a study done in the Sawtooth region, and the report did come back and say that there were questionnaires that were handed out to 42 dog owners, and there had been free clinics for, they're saying here, 225 dogs in 2008 and 2009. Now, they are saying that future services need to build on what existing programs there are going on right now. Right now in this region, there is a program whereby veterinary medical students, usually fourth year students, do go up and they do provide vaccination clinics, spay-neuter clinics. But because there's only one veterinarian hospital to service all of the NWT and only one veterinarian now in the NWT, certainly we have to have a better service to the more remote communities. Mm-hmm. They found also that there's 31 communities without resident service, and only 4 get regular service through a mobile veterinary clinic. And a lot of this has to do with the inaccessibility of the particular community. The ice road across Great Slave Lake is used, and ice roads during the winter time. But in the summer, a lot of these communities, it has to be air flight. And many of them don't have the funds. If their animal is sick or injured, they don't have the wherewithal, the means financially or with regard to transportation to fly their dog into Yellowknife. So it's crucial that we get a better program established to have veterinary students and even veterinarians, something like the LOCAM program that we have for human medicine here in the north, that we get something established.
You know, I think we take for granted here in BC, for example, where those kinds of facilities exist everywhere, right? And we don't think about the kind of thing that's happening up there in where you are in isolation. So it's really an eye-opener, I think, for us to hear about this. So you have been fighting the territorial government now for several years to obtain a Comprehensive Animal Protection Act for the Northwest Territories. Can you tell us about how your endeavors to do this have been going and exactly what the act entails?
Well, as you said, I've been doing this for a number of years, and I was quite pleased. I was received well by Mr. Paul DeLory, who is MLA for Hay River North. He was actually the first MLA to sit down with me in 2008 to discuss the situation. From 2008 through right up until November, I was continually sending documents, registered mail to MACA, which is the municipal and communities department responsible for this type of legislation. I have countless letters from Floyd Rowland, the premier, where he is saying, and I quote, "It is clear that the NWT is in need of animal welfare legislation that is more comprehensive in scope than our current legislation. We need to protect animals from people who would intentionally harm them." This is back from March of 2009. So I was getting positive feedback, and certainly I sent them all kinds of information, including every provincial act from across Canada. Mm-hmm. I want a comprehensive Animal Protection Act. This new dog act with this deadly loophole pertains solely to dogs, does not protect cats, any other domestic animal. Population of cats that are left out to freeze to death is ridiculous, as well as the dogs involved. The hearings that began in January, it's been controversial because a lot of people want this deadly loophole left in, but then there is mounting opposition to have it deleted entirely. The Animal Defense League of Canada critiqued the discussion paper on the Dog Act back in July of 2009. Then they again critiqued the final version of the Dog Act. They submitted another critique of that in January and opposing this loophole. And the Animal Alliance of Canada as well opposed this loophole and submitted their critique. During the public hearing this week, I handed Mr. Ramsey, who's chairing the committee, I handed him over 500 petition signatures as well as about 30 letters that I knew he had received that were CC'd to me as well. So there is opposition. No one at the public hearing spoke out in favor of this deadly loophole. And hopefully, from all indication, it looks good that it might be deleted out of the new Dog Act in its entirety, which is what we want.
Can you tell me what the wording is of this loophole exactly?
Yes, I most certainly can. The loophole, just let me see. I had grabbed it because I wanted to be sure. The loophole states that concerning accepted practices, local and traditional practices. I'm so sorry. I had that.
I think
that
it says it will make exceptions for locally accepted or traditional practices.
That's correct. Yeah. And what that is basically, as has been pointed out to the during the committee hearings, is that this is basically a get out of jail free card.
Right.
And you know, we're not saying the argument is. A lot of people are interpreting, oh, we don't want you to use your animals for traditional hunting and fishing and trapping. That isn't what we're saying. What we're saying is that the dog, the animal itself, deserves to be properly fed, to have proper Arctic shelters to protect it from sub-zero temperatures. And we're not opposing traditional use, provided the animal is not placed in distress to the point of it suffering and to the point of it being starved to death or frozen to death or beaten or discarded like garbage, which is what's going on. Puppies found in dumps with their throats slashed, 44 sled dogs put down in Bechico because of severe neglect. It's ridiculous. Puppies found in dumpsters or dogs tied to trees and with their muzzles duct taped and shot in the face because somebody didn't want them anymore.
And why, I know it's against the law to do that under the Federal Criminal Code of Canada, why is there no law enforcement going after these people? Or why do people feel that they can shoot a dog in the face or leave their dog outside in minus 40 degree temperatures and not face any consequences? That's what I'm curious to know.
Because they've been doing that for decades, and there has been no consequences.
And no one does anything about it.
And no one does
from
anything
what I've read,
about it.
It's because of the limited resources that usually it's just the RCMP who are left to deal with these sorts of things, and I don't know, I guess it's not really happening.
Yes, I would say that. In some communities, there are bylaw officers which, you know, are supposed to investigate reports of animal cruelty. Unfortunately, most of them spend their time rounding up the animals, and some communities have a shoot-to-kill policy. So, you know, bylaw officers spend their time doing that rather than investigating animal cruelty. When the RCMP were called in the Tuktoyaktuk case, even PETA got involved, putting pressure on the town to have these animals seized. And RCMP did investigate, but chose not to press charges. Animals were found dead, frozen to the ground. Some of the dogs had to be shot. One woman witnessed her own puppy being eaten alive in front of her by one of these sled dogs that had broke free from its bonds. But the police, the RCMP, wouldn't press charges. An animal cruelty investigation report was filed by the president of the BDRSPCA. She even went over the constable's head to a sergeant. The sergeant still failed to take the necessary action to seize the two surviving dogs and to press charges. So, I mean, to get RCMP to actually enforce the federal criminal code, especially up in that region, has been difficult. In the case of Inuvik, they attended the Inuvik Animal Holding Facility with the BDR SPCA president. They were witness to the situation. No charges were laid in that. And in some communities, even the bylaws aren't upheld, as in Inuvik, as in Tuktoyaktuk, as in Hay River, where this hoarding case was allowed to continue for 2 decades.
But even so, it's just a $25 fine or 30-day jail time, is right?
Under the current Dog Act, it is. And now, under the federal criminal code, sections 429 and sections 448, the Crown has often failed to prosecute, citing difficulty to prove willful neglect, which is how the Bechico case of the 44 dogs destroyed due to neglect was the Crown stayed those charges, which was ridiculous, because under section 429, I'll read it, if you cause something to happen either by doing it or by not doing something you should do and you know what the results will be, you are considered to have done so willfully. Example, failing to feed an animal could be considered to be a willful act, since you know that an animal will starve if it is not fed. Then under section 448, it says, evidence that a person failed to exercise reasonable care or supervision of an animal or bird, thereby causing it pain, suffering, damage, or injury, is, in the absence of any evidence to the contrary, proof that the pain, suffering, damage, or injury was caused or was permitted to be caused willfully or was caused by willful neglect. So, in other words, the condition that the animal is found in and the environment the animal is found in, that is evidence in itself of willful neglect under section 448. So the Crown has no excuse to not prosecute, as far as I'm concerned.
What you've told us today, Bonnie, has been very interesting, and I wish we had more time, but we're out of time here. So I want to thank you for coming on the show today to speak with us about the abuses of these animals in northern Canada and what you're doing to help this situation. I know that people can write to the MLA up in the north there, and you've started a petition on the petition site that people can sign. I'm going to put a link to that site on our website. I also want to let our listeners know that there is a Facebook group called Action for the Protection of Northern Animals. That is Bonnie's group that you can join. And Bonnie has a blog as well called giftofloki.wordpress.com, which has a lot of good information about it. And I know you've been updating it a lot lately. Loki is spelled L-O-K-I. I'll put a link there as well on our website. So I just want to thank you very much for coming on the show today. And I really do hope that the new amended Dog Act goes through.
Well, thank you so much, Allison, and the animals up here, certainly. Thank you for allowing this time.
Okay, thank you, and take care.
You too.
You are listening to the Animal Voices radio show here on 102.7 FM CFRO in Vancouver, Canada. And right now I'm just going to play a little announcement for you.
Join us for fun and good times at the Community Living Show every Friday afternoon at 2 p.m. on CFRO 102.7 FM on your dial. Dealing with today's issues for special needs people throughout BC. The Community Living Show. Don't miss it.
You're up, Alyssa.
You're listening to the Animal Voices Show on CFRO 102.7, Vancouver's listener-supported cooperative radio. Here's Carissa with the news.
All right. A report on ecorazzie.com today says that Boca Tacos y Tequila, a Tucson taco restaurant, has a pretty poor reputation when it comes to green offerings, and that's because they pride themselves on serving up exotic cuts of meat. Past offerings include python, alligator, elk, kangaroo, rattlesnake, and turtle. But starting on February 16th, they'll be offering a new animal du jour, African lion tacos. Owner Brian Mazon started Exotic Taco Night to drum up business, and serving lion is his latest maneuver to try and wrangle in customers. Horrifically enough, it's actually working, and orders have already been placed for Lion Night. "I'm doing the African lion to get my name out," Mazon stated. "I've never tried it myself, but this one really caught my eye. As awful as that is, it actually gets worse. Lion meat in the U.S. typically comes from lions who are former pets and have spent their lives in captivity at zoos, quote-unquote sanctuaries, circuses, and backyard cages. So, essentially, when the novelty of owning an exotic cat wears off, or when zoos need to make room for new babies, lions are sold at auction where they can be purchased for slaughter." In response, Patrick Webb, the president of the National Wildlife Humane Society, wrote a letter begging Mazon to reconsider, saying, "I am a very calm and logical person and make no knee-jerk judgments on people. I realize this is a publicity effort and will not result in profitability in serving lion, but sometimes no amount of publicity is worth the potential negative effects on a vulnerable species. Unfortunately, Mazon is getting publicity, so in the end, his goal has come to fruition. If you'd like to help fight against this cruel publicity stunt, you can join the Stop Boca Tacos Y Tequila from Serving Lion Meat Facebook page, or you can go to the official Boca Facebook page and tell the business directly how you feel about this disgusting display of ignorance on behalf of the animals. You may have seen earlier this week that the Stop UBC Animal Research was on the front page of the province newspaper, which was very exciting, and it's been, I think, one of their biggest stories that they've done. And so this is from theprovince.com. The University of BC has come out swinging in defense of its medical experiments on monkeys. A province front page story on January 18th revealed that monkeys were to be used in experiments to perhaps cure Parkinson's disease. The experiments would see monkeys injected, tested, and then euthanized for post-mortem analysis. UBC Vice President John Hepburn penned a letter to the province condemning the paper's coverage of the proposed experiments. "The inflammatory and sensational nature of this article detracts from the tragedy faced by sufferers of Parkinson's disease and their families," wrote Hepburn. "There is no death row at UBC. The truth is that scientists regard the use of animals in research to be a privilege to be used only when no alternative exists. UBC complies fully with federal animal care standards, the same standards that require humane treatment during the life of research animals, also stipulate they must be euthanized using humane, painless procedures. But the story also triggered letters, emails, and online comments, many in support of stopping the experiments. Many province readers were quick to offer funding to buy the animals' freedom. Hi, my name is Gemma Sally Carrington, and I am 15 years old," read a typical email to the paper. "I have almost $1,000 in my bank account, and I am willing to spend as much as needed to save these monkeys." And Anne Berthistle, with the animal rights group Stop UBC Animal Research, who provided documentation on the experiments, saw support for their group surge. "We've had a huge outpouring of support from people on Facebook and through our website," said Berthistle. Thursday, she sent off another written request to UBC to formally present our proposal to provide sanctuary to the monkeys involved. So what do you guys think about that? Did you see that story?
Oh, definitely. It was very exciting to see it on the front page, for sure.
Everywhere I went, it was sold out.
Exciting.
It was pretty exciting, yeah.
I'm not sure if we'll be able to, if UBC will ever sell the animals to us, but it's a great campaign. It's and I think we all need to step up and give what we can and
definitely
show support.
And if you're interested in being involved with it, Facebook is the best way to get involved.
Yeah.
Just go to the Stop UBC Animal Research Facebook page and join the group, and you get updates fairly regularly, probably twice a week at least. And right now it's pretty active because of all that's happening. And hopefully other news outlets will start to pick it up.
Definitely.
I just want to say that our next interview isn't on the line yet, so I'm just going to put on a song for us to listen to, and hopefully we can get him on the air soon.
Sweetheart brought home some regular pranks. I knew she meant well, so I had to say thanks. But honey pie, frankly, a word to the wise. When it's this shape and color, don't get regular size. I said, now honey, if word of this got out in the street, the guys would laugh all day long about the length of my meat. Go for the footlongs whenever you can, 'cause regular hot dogs don't make me a man. Hot dog, hot dog, get me the kind that's as big as a dog, baby. Hot dog, hot biggity dog, for you are the dog food and I am the dog. So she brought back some franks that were as big as can be. What's this long, scary word that begins with a V? She said, that's vegetarian. I said, what does that mean? She said, it's good for your heart, 'cause it's healthy and lean. I said, come on, girl, how am I supposed to make things happen if I'm eating meatless franks with all this healthy crap in it? You know, sometimes fatter is better than leaner, and my case in point is a big fat. Kiss this frog, baby. Hot dog, hot diggity dog. Yeah! He didn't eat meat, but he sometimes ate fish.
some exceptions for seafood or for beef.
He made up his food plan dish by dish. Jesus was a flexitarian. He didn't throw stones or try to be the boss.
You should have heard the King of Kings, he said.
We gotta respect every single living thing. And if you'd be so good, could you pass me the tartar sauce? Thanks.
Flexitarians can show you the way. A purely casual approach that's right for today. 'Cause it doesn't say it's the right thing to do, but we all know it's true.
Jesus just did what was right for him, so it might be right for you. It's easy to be a flexitarian. You don't have to worry about carbs or fat.
But be careful about eating meat.
Be sure to have some a couple times a week,
or you'll slip into veganism. What's the point of that?
Us reach the sublime.
Confucius had a line of juices.
Akhenaten
had his sour braten.
Isaiah
said to hold the mayor.
But Pope John
said to pile it on.
The Buddhists were the first raw Buddhists.
Some of them were nudists. No nudists, trudists.
Moses proposes ketosis in doses. Sometimes ate fish.
And once in a while some lamb.
Very rarely a little slice of ham.
He made up his lifestyle dish by dish.
Doesn't say it's the right thing to do, but we all know it's true.
If a diet's good enough for the Son of God, then it's probably good enough for you.
Jesus was a flexitarian.
So you are listening to the Animal Voices radio show here on 102.7 FM CFRO. I regret to say that we can't get a hold of our next interviewee, who was going to be Neil DeCruz from the World Society for the Protection of Animals to speak on the dancing bear trade in India. Unfortunately, the call is not going through. It's not picking up. He's all the way in the UK, so that is too bad. I will see if we can get him on another time, because we had a great interview lined up for you today. So in this case, which has never happened before since we've done the show, I want to invite Collins on the show for the rest of the time that we have left. And if you want to call in and comment on anything about the show, give us your feedback on the story, you know, the interview that we just had on with Bonnie Dawson on treating animals in the North, or any suggestions or comments you have about the show in general, you can do that. Go ahead. Our phone number is 604-684-7561. I should also talk about the CD that we've been playing in while we've been waiting here. So you just heard Jesus Was a Flexitarian and Hot Dog before that. Now, interesting, I don't know if you guys were listening to the songs. It's really, really cool lyrics. The CD is by the band, all-vegan band called Green Beings, and their CD is called Electric Green. They've got other songs on here, and we've played them before. Meat Doesn't Grow on Cheat Trees, Mad Cow Farm, Cheese Shop of Horrors, Where Do You Get Your Protein, which maybe I'll play afterwards. That's a good one, too. Mm-hmm. And, so lots of good songs there. And just to make up for our lack of the second interview, I want to offer our listeners a special giveaway. We will give away one copy of the CD that I have, and not the one that we're listening to today. I've got another one. And, yeah, if you want to have a copy of the CD for yourself by Green Beings, and they do have a website. I think it's greenbeings.com or something like that. You can just look it up or Google it. You'll find it just to see what else is on there. I'll put a contest on our Facebook today, and you can also email us your entry, radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. You just have to make sure that you haven't won something from us in the last year, and that you can come to the station in downtown Vancouver to come pick it up. So there you go. You didn't get the interview, but you might get a free CD. So fair enough deal in a short amount of time.
Do you have the info for us that you would have given us at the end of the interview for people, like, if they want to know more?
About the Dancing Bear issue, I would suggest that you go on our website, actually. Is that a call or
looks like the door.
Okay, that's the door. I thought we were getting a call. I was all excited. Yeah, come I actually on, put a really, really interesting video that talks about the Dancing Bears, and it's made by WISPA on our website, animalvoices.org. You can check that out. It's on our front page right now, on our homepage, and it's also on the entry for today's show. So please do check that out, and perhaps that'll just give you some information, but I would really like to get Neil on the show some other time. So, Alyssa, you have some stuff to say.
Yeah, sure. Well, I was going to ask you guys if you had watched Cat Crazed. I know we mentioned
not
it last
yet.
Week.
Yeah,
no, but did you?
I put in my 45 minutes. Well, no, it was great. I love Doc Zone on CBC, and it's
free documentaries.
Tons of documentaries available online. Great way to spend an afternoon. I watched Cat Crazed.
So tell us about it.
It was really great. Like most people, you would think, is it about crazy cat ladies? No, it is not. It's about the controversy around dealing with overpopulation of cats all around the world, and how different cities deal with this problem. And there's a really heavy like lobby in California, mm-hmm. about trap, neuter, return.
Yeah,
and they're doing a lot for the animals. They're basically trying to spay and neuter all the cats of a colony so that they stop growing, which is like a massive task.
Yeah.
But they're just trying to educate people about how the cats want to be in the outside, and that's where they should be, which is kind of goes against humane societies, yeah. who mostly say cats should stay indoors.
I think it's if they're feral cats, like you can't always bring those indoors,
but they're not, it's not just feral, it's just all homeless cats.
Yeah,
they're not licensed, they don't know where they should go, so they just put them back. They're not adopting them out at all. So it's kind of
at all.
No,
that could be because I think in California they have really high kill shelters, mm-hmm. so maybe
exactly.
I don't know, it's a weird thing of like which is better, putting them back on the streets where they're used to.
Yeah.
To give them some sort of a chance, or put them in a shelter where they have less chance maybe of even being adopted, and they get euthanized, usually in a gas chamber.
Mm-hmm. It's totally sad. Yeah, and then there's also the bird people who are, you know, bird populations are going down where
because
these cat colonies are. There's a lot of endangered birds. So they're kind of, there's a bit of a war there. Mm-hmm. There was one of the communities that was most notable was Calgary, which started licensing cats,
And
I don't think they're allowed outside in Calgary.
No,
my friend used to live in Calgary, and she thinks it's weird that there's cats outside here.
Yeah, like all cats are licensed there. They're not. Yeah, they're not allowed outside.
Do they keep cats on leashes when they take them out
like
in Calgary?
They're allowed to go like in your backyard if you're supervising them, I guess. So I guess you would want a leash on them. Like you don't see cats just walking around the way that like you see just a cat
sauntering
on the
around
here.
Like they do here.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're all licensed. Most of all of them, I think they have to be fixed. And there are shelters there. They have no kill shelters and they're half full. Interesting and really amazing. And now that mayor is speaking across North America about his success.
The thing though, the other weird thing that they have in Calgary is they are a no rat city. So if anybody finds out about a rat, it basically hits front page news. It's on all of the newscasts and people go out and kill the rat.
So
I don't know. They've exterminated all rats in their city, and anytime there's a rat,
there's no cats allowed outside. But yet there's no rats
because
you'd think the cats would be taking care of that problem at least a little bit.
I don't understand how it operates. Like, how do you stop rats from coming in your city?
I know. Well, you know what? Calgary isn't a port, right? There's no water, so it's not like they're coming in off ships or anything. So maybe once the rats are gone, they're gone for good until people don't really. Bring rats, how people
you're not allowed to have a pet rat in Calgary.
Oh, because then you could, you know, irresponsible breeding and letting them out in that. So that's pretty interesting news there.
Yeah.
Wow. Who would have known? That's interesting to know.
So just to let you know, Cat Crazed is available on cbc.ca. I had another point that I noticed.
Another little news bite.
Spain's leading broadcaster said it would no longer show the country's centuries-old tradition of bullfighting to protect children from viewing violence.
Mm-hmm.
They have new strict violence laws or regulations.
Wow.
And Spain's state network, RTVE, said bullfights generally coincide with hours protected or specially protected for young viewers.
It's during daytime hours when kids have access to
TV? They said children can view violence exerted over animals with anxiety, and we must therefore avoid it by all means.
What about the anxiety of the animals?
Yeah.
At least it's not allowed.
Yeah.
It's kind of an indirect success, I guess. I don't think it's, it's not for the animals necessarily.
In some way, that's really sensitive, though, for people to think about that.
That's sort of, maybe.
Do they not have other violence on TV? Like we do here?
I wonder what other shows
may
have cut.
I think maybe it's a different kind of violence, too, right? Like, it's
bloody,
brutal.
Gory animal
violence. They kill
violence.
The bull at the end. Like, they stab it.
There should be a TV channel that's just, it's closed circuit television for slaughterhouses. Just one TV channel.
Yeah. Like how we had that interview where in the UK they're trying to get that. If that was just a TV channel, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like a camera, mm-hmm. like a web camera, whatever, except not web, but on your TV.
Yeah.
Or you could do it on the web as well, but I like the idea of television. Everyone's got their television on, so I wonder what would happen. I've been hearing recently from Animal Aid, who we interviewed a couple months ago, about that issue. They're in the UK and they're getting closed circuit television in slaughterhouses. They are making progress, it seems like, and recently they posted something on their Facebook page just this last week saying that there are some slaughterhouses, either slaughterhouses or stores that use slaughterhouses, that have said mm-hmm. that they're going to be having the closed circuit television in the slaughterhouses.
Wow.
Well, I already knew that from the interview, but there's like more people coming on board, but they're waiting for them to confirm, like to have it set in stone, because that was not the case yet. But like they're so progressive, like Canada and North America, would we have that here? I don't know. Seems like in Europe, they're kind of several steps ahead of us in that regards, where it's actually something that they would consider. Here, I think we have a long way to go until it's something that's even considered.
Yeah, baby seals. I don't know that we're going to say yes to putting closed circuit TV in a slaughterhouse, right? Like, there's just
It's too big of a psychological step.
Yeah.
Right? And I really applaud Spain for actually just wanting to protect their children, right? It's great. What about the children here? Well, I think there's a lot of TV you'd have to get rid of.
It might take a generation there, but that is definitely a step of, like, maybe those children won't ever be into the bullfighting because they won't see it on TV, you know, like, because you're such a
From what I've read, like, it's not really a sport or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. It's not really something that the people in Spain really go to. It's a tourist tourist destination type thing, and I don't know.
And the kind of older generations, 2006 Gallup poll showed that 72% of Spaniards say they have no interest in bullfighting. Yeah. So it is on its way out, for sure.
Yay, that's wonderful to hear.
Yeah.
You know, it's the end of the show, and you had your chance to call in to speak to the Animal Voices host. No one called, so maybe we'll do it again. But you can email us. So our email address is radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. And Carissa is going to let us know what's on the show next week.
Yes. On next week's show, we'll be talking with the Vancouver Humane Society about their new initiative. It's called Raising the Barn, and it's aimed at improving the lives of farmed animals. And we'll also be getting ready for Valentine's Day with an interview with Sarah Gross from Brooklyn, New York, who is the owner of Rescue Chocolate, a vegan chocolate company whose proceeds all go to animal charities with a different beneficiary chosen each month. If you have an animal-related news item or event you'd like to share with us, as Allison said, you can email us at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. And please do join us on Facebook. We were trying to, I thought we could get 500 by the end of the year.
End of last year?
Yeah. I was a little naive.
How?
I don't know, but I would really like it if we could get to 500 by, say, my birthday, which is June 25th.
Okay, so that's kind of, I would like to see something a little bit faster. So this is what I would request people to do. Because I've already done it. I've already spammed all my friends. Okay,
I know. So, it won't let me send any more invitations.
Okay, so what you do, you can send invites. So
I'll have to just send messages individually.
What I would like people to do is go on our page, Animal Voices Vancouver on Facebook, and invite your friends, all your friends, or all your friends who you think might like the show. Please invite them to join the group. And if everyone does that this week, I know we'll get more people.
Yeah. Also inviting people. I don't know. Groups are easy to ignore. I say post it as your status. Listen to this great show. I think that's a little more. Yeah,
I've done that in the past, and I'll keep doing it because I think people need to be reminded.
Well, I keep sort of mentioning things here and there about the show, and then people are like, what? You have a radio show?
Oh.
And it's like, how are you missing that?
We need to speak up. Be proud.
So there's our Facebook page, which is Animal Voices Vancouver. You can also follow us on Twitter, Animal Voices YVR. You can listen online on Facebook or our website, which is animalvoices.org. And you can also subscribe to Animal Voices Vancouver on iTunes and take us with you wherever you go. If you would like to support what we do here at Animal Voices, you can do so by becoming a member of Co-op Radio at coopradio.org and citing Animal Voices as your favorite show. Until next week, be kind to animals and have a great week.
And I'm going to play Where Do You Get Your Protein? Remember to sign up to enter our draw for a free copy of this CD.
Where do you get your protein?
You don't get it from a 3-pound steak. You must have all sorts of pills to take. I mean,
where do you get your protein?
You're missing out on chicken and fish. Why do you have this plain dead fish?
A question well renowned. Don't mean to put us down, but every time we turn around, all of us have heard the sound. It goes,
where do you get your protein?
You better have you a thick milkshake. You'll waste away for the animal's sake.
Where do you get your protein?
Humans need ground beef to thrive, and it's a shock
you're still alive.
We hear it everywhere. No good in laying low. Summer's still over there, and they're just saying so. They wanna know. They want to hear what beats the status quo, but gee whiz, if it's a quiz, it should be clear that the answer is
a plant-based diet.
That's why millions of people swear by it. Yeah, that's a
plant-based diet. Good for the world is good for you.
Yes, indeed, a
plant-based diet.
it's so good that everybody ought to try it. Yeah, that's a
plant-based diet. Good for the world is good for you.
It's got a
plant-based diet.
If people knew what's going on, they'd start a riot. Yeah, that's a
plant-based diet.
This is Radio EQ.